you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges, the 16th chapter. We're going to start on the 21st verse, continuing on our series on faith. But just stand with me for the reading of the Word. As you're turning there, Hebrews 11 and 32, the title of my message is Restoration Faith. Restoration Faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11 and 32 says this, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." Judges 16, starting with the 21st verse. And this is where I'm going to be teaching from tonight. "Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in a prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead.' So it happened when their hearts were merry, and they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may perform for us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, 'Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I can lean on them.' Now the temple was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them on his right and on his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed it with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Restoration faith. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for each and every one that's here. I pray, God, that your anointing would continually move in this place. I bind anything that would try to bind up this service. I bring it under subjection to your word and to the Holy Spirit. God, and I loose your people to receive in the name of Jesus Christ. God, that people here today may know restoration. They may know the power of God in their life. They may know who they are in God. So God, touch us tonight, and we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, restoration faith. The word restoration means to the act of restoring. The word restore literally means to bring back to the place it once was, the place it was intended to be. We find here that Samson, this great man of God, the man that God called the man that God called before he was born to be judge of Israel, this great man of God that the Holy Spirit moved upon, and he pulled gates out of a city. Feathers or ropes melted on him. He killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. He was a mighty man of God. Yet here we find him grinding at the mill. His fall allowed the enemy to bring him to the grinding mill. First of all, I want to let you know the enemy's waiting for you to fall. Because he don't like who you are, what God is in you. So he wants to trick you up, and he has schemes to bring you down, and you lose out where you are with God. See, the scheme of the enemy allowed him to fall. Turn around and say, don't fall to the scheme of the enemy. Don't allow the devil to take from you what God has for you. Don't allow the enemy to rob from you where God is going to take you. It is a trick of the enemy. And may I say, 15 minutes of pleasure isn't worth a life of what God has for you. Oh, I feel like teaching. This is the plan of the enemy for you. Everybody take your little finger and point at yourself and say, there go I, if not for the grace of God. I'm in the same place if it's not for the grace of God. Don't judge others. You could be there yourself. Paul said, and such were some of you, amen? I thank God for the grace of God. I am not here because of me. I'm here because of the grace of God and Sister Rita. I'm here because of the grace of God. I'm here because of the touch of God. I'm not here on my own strength, but I'm here on the strength of God Almighty. Can you say amen? When Paul said, the Lord allowed a spirit to buffet me, and I prayed 3 times, God, take this thing off of me. You know what God said? My grace is sufficient. For in your weakness, I am made strong. Hallelujah. So therefore, if I am weak, I am strong because he is strong in me. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I realize I cannot do this on my own. I've got to have the strength of God. I've got to stay prayed up. I've got to stay read up. I've got to stay with God or I will fall. Amen. Oh, that's good teaching. You can always tell when you're not prayed up because you always fall to the same thing. Someone said to me, Pastor, why won't God take this from me? I said, if he does, you'll have nothing to pray about. It's kind of like having that suit in your closet. It's your check suit. When it gets tight, you got to push away from the table. God's got a check in you. When you start to fall to it, you know you're not prayed up. Oh, that's good stuff right there. Because you can't do it on your own. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can stay holy. I can stay righteous because of God Almighty, not because of myself. Oh, this is good teaching. I can stay right here for a while. I like this. Everybody listen. Here he is. He's a grinder. It literally, there was a mill there. And there was a large rock on top of another. And they would put grain in it. And his hands were chained to a pole. And he would walk in circles grinding. This is where the enemy took the man of God. And all the people, there's that man of God. There's the one, look, he's nothing more than an animal. Look where we've brought him. Anybody still with me? But here's the key thing. As he's grinding, his hair grew back. His identity that he lost came back. But the problem is, he couldn't see his hair had grown back because he was blinded. Some of us, God's forgiven us, and the glory's come, but we're still at the grinder because we can't see what God has done for us because he's blinded us by our past failure. Ooh. Oh, I feel the glory of the Lord. I'm telling you, I just felt a shot of the Holy Spirit. See, some of you think you're in the shape you are because of your past fall. Pastor, I don't understand why I'm always at the grind and nothing don't work right. I know it's because of what I did 10 years ago. You don't realize that that thing 10 years ago has blinded you and you can't see that your hair has grown. You can't see that the power of God has come back to your life, but you're still blinded by your past failures. I want you to know, if Jesus Christ has forgiven you, you are forgiven. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? I'm talking about restoration. We can never be what God wants us to be as long as our past is in front of us and it holds us back. And we don't understand why we're at the grind all the time. It's because you're not free in your own vision, in your own mind, because God has already set you free. Somebody say amen. He didn't realize his hair had grown back because he's still pushing at the grinding mill. I don't have any victory. Nothing goes right for me. I know it's because of my past. I know it's because my kids are not serving God, and I know it's because of my past. Can't pay my bills because I know it's of my past. I'm going to give you a place to shout right here. And nothing goes right in relationships with me because of my past. No. No. It's because you're blinded by your past is the reason it's not going. I'm not getting too many amens, but this is good stuff. It's because we're blinded by our past that we cannot see our future. They made sport of him, the man of God. They said, bring out Samson, that we might make sport of him. You know what is amazing? There are so many Christians walking in a defeated life and the enemy's laughing at them because they don't understand they're forgiven. They don't understand who they are in God because they're blinded by their past. Listen, take a moment. God, do you remember that thing I did 10 years ago? Let me look in the book of your life. Well, now what date was that? Oh, that was August, what's today, 15th, 19th? It was August 19th. It's the only thing I have here is red. The only thing I hear is blood. Oh, I think some people need to start praising God. All I have here is blood. See, I took it and I threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. It's as far as the east is to the west. Somebody say amen. It has been forgiven. You have been forgiven. It's been put in the sea of forgetfulness and a no fishing sign put up. Somebody say amen. The problem is, some of us like to be deep sea divers and go back and try to find it. Forget it. Move on. God has got his touch on you. You've got to move on. Quit letting your past blind you from your future. Do you know why your windshield is this big? in your rearview mirror is this big. Hallelujah! Because it's more important to look forward than it is to look backward. Amen. You'll never get anywhere if you're looking backward. But if you got your eyes faced toward, Paul said, forgetting the past and pressing on for the future. And the enemy can make sport of us because we cannot see the power of God in our lives. We walk defeated. We act defeated. We act like we deserve to be sad and sorry and miserable. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Let me ask you this. And all the things have you done, have you been to Calvary? Well, if you've been to Calvary, the rest doesn't matter. Amen. You're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all. Everybody say all. Things are new. Amen. Women. Oh, can I preach right here? Yes, sir. Women can have good relationships with their husbands because of their past. Amen. Because of what other people have done to them, or what they've done in their own lives. Men can't have a great relationship with their children or their wives because of things they've done in their past. I've come to tell you, you can walk in victory. Amen. I've come to tell you, God can restore. Amen. Oh, where do we stand? When God gave me this, I could have shouted all over the place. So get ready. He was led by a child in mockery. Samson asked to be led to the pillars. A little boy is leading this great man of God. He says to him, can you take me to the pillars? He took him to the pillars, and he stood between two pillars. He reached out and touched two pillars. I said, God, can you give me something on the two pillars? He said, oh yeah, I've already got something for you. Are you ready? Restoration comes when you stand between two pillars. And you can reach out and touch two pillars. Your victory comes when you can touch two pillars. What are these pillars? Grace and forgiveness. Hallelujah. If you can touch grace and if you can touch forgiveness, oh my God, get ready. Victory's about to happen. Amen. Joy is coming back to your life. Restoration is, if you can just touch grace and just touch forgiveness, if you can stand between those two things, amen, then your victory's coming. Your joy's coming. Amen. When you're standing between grace and forgiveness, the devil cannot get you. Amen. Sin cannot get you. You can't be reminded of your past when you're standing between grace and forgiveness. Oh, my Lord. The pillar of grace. Grace means favor, goodwill, loving kindness. I want God's favor. Everybody listen to me. I'm going to do a little teaching here. Is that all right? How many has heard that grace means unmerited favor? I've looked through the Bible. I looked through the original Greek, original Hebrew. Grace means favor. Understand, in the Old Testament, the children of God earned favor. You do this, you do that, I'll bless you. You do this, you do that, I'll be your God. God is not bound by a word called grace to give you unmerited favor. It is his desire. Let me tell you something. On the fact that he's not bound by it, but he's going to give it to us anyways. My God, that's enough to worship him about. It's nothing I've earned. It's everything he's done. I couldn't get here, but he did it for me. It is a grace that I could not work up. I could not bring down. I couldn't buy it, but Jesus Christ gave it. He paid. Anybody hear me what I'm talking about? I'm talking about amazing grace. I'm talking about the fullness of grace. I'm talking about an abundance of grace. Grace says you don't earn it, you don't deserve it, I probably told you this about the lady that went to get one of those glamour shots. Anybody know what a glamour shot is? You go there and they make you up, make you look real pretty, and then they take your picture. Usually you take it for your husband. Lady went in there, got it done, came and picked it up, took it home, went back, threw it on the desk, said, "This is terrible. I want justice." The photographer turned it around and said, "Honey, what you need is grace." "I don't want justice, because justice is a lake of fire for me, because I was a sinner. I'm glad I don't get justice, Pastor Fred, but I get grace." Amen. I get His grace. And you know what? It is His grace. The devil can come to you and say, "You did this and you did this and you did nothing worthwhile." But you know what? "I know I didn't, but Jesus Christ did. I'm not going on what I did. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but His righteousness is holy, and I'm not going on mine. I'm going on His." I'm talking about grace. It is by the pillar of unmerited favor that we are restored. It's hard sometimes for us humans to come to the place to accept grace. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there were no pillars of grace in my home. There was a belt. And there was a father that knew how to use it. When my mother, it was a shoe or anything else she could get her hands on.
Amen.
Amen. There wasn't no grace there. Right. "Oh, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." "Don't matter, son. We're straightening you up." At our school in Niagara Falls, when we first started it, our policy was paddling. You know, I mean, you had to do a lot to get to a paddling stage. But if they got to that area, we would call you on the phone. There was three options. You could come and do it. You could come and watch us do it. Or just tell us to do it. We had one young man, and they said, "Don't even call my dad. Just do it. If he finds out, I'm in trouble." We had one young lady that had gotten in trouble over and over and over. We called the father, and he came in to be there while she was paddled. And he said, I don't know what else to do. Apparently, I failed as a father. He said, "I'll take her paddling." And he bent over and he said, "Paddle me. Give me her paddling." And we're like, "No." He said, "Yes." That little girl wept and cried because her father took her punishment.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he took my punishment. I was guilty and he was innocent, but he took the punishment that I might be free. Anybody hear me what I'm talking about? I'm talking about grace. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus paid the price. And until we understand that, we can never come to restored or being where God wants us to be. We're not over yet. We got another pillar. Forgiveness. John 1:9. Listen to what John 1:9 said. He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How many's glad He's faithful? How many's glad He is already forgiven? I said He's already forgiven. He is faithful. That's what He says. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, it's better than shout. It's better than all. The Bible said He's a refiner soap. He cleans out every stain.
Yes.
Your whiters are whiter than white. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about being cleansed by Jesus Christ. I'm talking about his blood washing away our sins. And we are, let me tell you something, the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ, that moment you could never be holier than you were at that moment. Amen. You were totally clean, totally washed by his blood. Oh my, if we confess, oh, we got to talk about it. Listen, you don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. Aren't you glad you don't have to confess your sins to me? But if you confess them to Jesus Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive you. I tell you what, I feel the glory of the Lord. I feel like God is touching someone here tonight. I'm talking about forgiveness. Allowing ourselves to be forgiven. Here we are. You need faith to receive forgiveness. It takes faith to receive our forgiveness. Because, you know, we would want to beat ourselves up. We would want to go. But we don't have to. Because he already did. The song says, how far is the east from the west? From one nail-scarred hand to the other. But it takes faith to accept that I've been forgiven of my sins and not allow it to hold me down anymore. Go home and check it out. Go home and check it out. Let me ask you something. Who did worse, Peter or Judas? Judas kissed him. Peter denied him. Go home and read it. And the Bible said, and Judas repented for what he did. Listen, if Judas was sincere in repentance, God is sincere in forgiveness. Amen. Well, Pastor, yeah, but it would be a different, no, it'd be a great story. Because when the women came to the tomb that early that morning, and Jesus said, go tell my disciples, and Peter, specifically called out Peter. You know why? Because Peter denied him. The old song says the room was empty. Says even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same, because when at last I denied his name, and suddenly a sound filled the room. Suddenly Jesus was before me, and I fell down on my knees and cried. He lifted me to my feet, and when I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Judas repented and took the money and went and threw it in a field and did not want it. But Judas could not forgive himself and hung himself for what he did. It takes a lot of faith to receive forgiveness. It takes a lot to not walk in guilt of our past. Because everything, something goes wrong, we go, yeah, that's because of what I did. And I deserve what I get. I deserve all the problems I'm in because of what I did. No. You deserve love. You deserve joy. You deserve peace. Not because of what you did, but because of what he did. It takes faith to forgive ourselves. We don't have as much problems forgiving others as we do ourselves. Sometimes we can't get over our past and what we did. There's people that can't stay saved. They're in and out, in and out, in and out, because they cannot forgive themselves. Pastor, you don't know what I did. You know, one of the most amazing stories that I ever heard. There was a serial killer. Dr. Dobson visited him in prison. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what? All sin. All sin. The problem is forgiving ourselves. Giving yourself a right to be happy. Giving yourself a right to have joy. Giving yourself a right to walk in victory. Giving yourself a right to receive love. Giving yourself a right to have peace by forgiving yourself. Anybody still with me?
Yes.
Forgiving ourselves. How do we forgive ourselves? How do we forget our past? Especially, Pastor, when people keep bringing it up. Tell that person, you're not that person anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Tell yourself, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have a right to all the promises that are written in this book. You have a right to be blessed. You have a right to have joy. You have a right to have peace. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. And when Samson took a hold of grace and forgiveness, he said, God, touch me one more time. And the power of God came upon him again. And his last victory was greater than any other victory in his life. Let me tell you, there's such a great victory when you experience forgiveness. When you understand forgiveness. When you allow forgiveness to reign in your life. When you walk in forgiveness. Listen to me. The Bible says that if we're Christians, we don't sin. But if we do, we have an advocate. Amen. Even Christ Jesus. That we say, God, forgive me. And he says, yes. Amen. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? What faith it took to get out of the boat. But not long he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. He lifted up his hands and Jesus said, swim a little bit, boy. Hope you can tread water. You shouldn't have took your eyes off of me. No, before he lifted his hand, Jesus was already stretching down. Can you imagine the other disciples on the boat? Well, there goes Peter. Oh, big mouth Peter. Show off Peter. Yep, he's going under. That's what we thought. Get the oars. We got to go save Peter. But then a voice comes back. Put the oars down, boys. I've got a hold of the hand of Jesus. And that's what the Bible said. And he took him and placed him back up on top of the water. God wants to put you back up on top. I said, God wants to put you back up on top. His forgiveness and his grace wants to put you back up on top. Everybody look at me. Grace and forgiveness in your life. It's a wonderful thing. But you can't have true victory unless you release grace and forgiveness. Every Sunday morning while we're preaching on the kingdom of faith, we pray this prayer. Everybody pray the Lord's Prayer with me. And I want you to mean it from your heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, let be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Oh, what did you just say? You just told God to forgive you like you forgive everyone else. Wow. Oh, that's good stuff right there. I forgive you, but I'm not forgetting. Listen, I don't want God to forgive me and remember. I want him to forget. I want it washed away. I want it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I have to release myself. I can live in joy and victory if I release myself by forgiving. Ooh. I had a minister tell me about a lady in his church who could not have relationship with her husband, was drawn back, couldn't have a relationship with God. And the reason was, she was 12 years old and was on the track team. The track teacher molested her, and no one ever knew. She never told no one, but she held it in her. She was miserable. She had no joy, no peace. And in counseling, she found out that she had to forgive. Are you kidding? Forgive that rascal? We need to shoot him. Is that how you want God to forgive you? She went home, went on to Nana, and found where he was in another city, got his phone number, and called him. Woo! You talk about a phone call. He said, hello. She said, hi, and said his name. Said, coach, and then his name. Quiet. Said, you know who this is? He said, I believe I do. She said, I called to tell you that I did nothing wrong. You molested me. But I've called to tell you that Jesus washed my sins away and has forgiven me. And I called to tell you, I forgive you, and you have no more power over me. On the other side of the phone, she heard weeping and crying. And he said, I'm so glad you called, because I too have accepted Jesus Christ. But I had no joy and no peace for what I did to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Let forgiveness release you. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Don't let it hold you down anymore. Grab a hold of grace and forgiveness. He don't deserve to be forgiven. Neither did you. But he forgave you anyhow. His grace and mercy. The last one is, we are at the grind because we do not forgive ourselves. We don't let forgiveness and grace reign in our lives. I feel the presence of the Lord. There are some here tonight that you are bound by your past. You feel like you're at the grind. It's always a grind. I can't find God's victory. And I believe the reason is because of what I did. And I'm being judged because of what I did. Jesus is saying to you, you've already been judged. Everybody look at me. You've already been judged. You were judged guilty, but Jesus took your place, paid the price. You're forgiven. Therefore, forgive yourself. Receive his forgiveness. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. My kids are like they are because of what I did. My life is the way it is because of what I did. God is saying, no, things are the way it is because you can't forgive yourself and walk in grace and forgiveness. I want every person here tonight, you say, Pastor, something in my past just keeps coming back up. And I feel like everything that's going wrong in my life is because of that. I want you to come, but listen, I want you to come and stand. I want you to come and kneel at this altar right now. Don't wait, come now. God is going to totally set you free. God is going to totally set you free. Come now. In the name of Jesus, there's others that should be coming. God has showed me some of you that you need to be here. In your name, Jesus. Oh, there's others you need to come. Don't walk out tonight without getting your joy, without getting your victory. Come now in the name of Jesus.